Welcome to the Future Ready Student Voices podcast, where I and the rest of my team discuss different pathways available after high school. I'm Aaron Nielsen, and today we're looking at four-year colleges and universities, and we put together a great selection of guests. And make sure you stay till the end of this podcast to see how you can have your own questions answered about life after high school on our podcast. First, we actually have a friend of mine, Sarah Blake, who graduated from Riverview last year and is now a freshman at Columbia University. Sarah, thanks for joining me today on the Future Ready Student Voices podcast.
Of course. Thank you, Aaron.
All right. So tell me a little bit about what you did in high school and how that led you to Columbia.
Yeah. So I grew up in Sarasota County Schools, and my experiences in our incredible school district were really fundamental in my journey. I think I had some truly amazing teachers who I truly wouldn't be here today without. Actually, when I was in elementary school, my principal allowed my friends and I to run a school-wide donation drive for the Humane Society. And I think unique experiences like that really sparked my passion for giving back. And that continues to play a significant role in my life today. In high school, I did a lot of community service work. I was part of Miracle Network Dance Marathon. And with my chapter, we raised $13,506 for children's hospitals across the United States and Canada. I also was the president of Rho Kappa, which, Aaron, I know you're now involved in.
Yep, I'm the president now.
Yes, exactly. And so that was an incredible experience. It really allowed us to have an impact on our school as like the largest student-run organization on campus, but also in our community through the Alta Vista tutoring program and other community service opportunities like that. I was also secretary of National Honor Society, and I did a lot of writing as well in high school. I did a lot of poetry, which was actually published in journals. And I also did a lot of like self-publication work. But yeah, I think that community service was really the central driving force in my high school experience. Community service was really a fundamental part of my time in high school, and I think it really led me to Columbia. And now at Columbia, I'm continuing to be involved in a lot of community service work, and I think it's still a central part of my life today.
Awesome. What are you studying at Columbia, by the way?
I'm actually undecided right now, but I'm leaning towards political science.
Nice.
I think that's a very popular major here. And I'm also thinking about double majoring in English. One of the great things about Columbia, and I think this is true about a lot of colleges and universities, is that majors are often very flexible. So you can kind of incorporate a lot of other majors. Like you can do a double major and you can also have a minor. So I think that really allows you to explore a wide variety of your interests.
Cool. As a poli sci major myself, I am full support of poli sci. So a little biased.
Yeah, but I can definitely see that. You're definitely going to do very well.
I appreciate it. All right. So you have a unique perspective because when you applied to college, you went through the QuestBridge program. Can you tell us a little bit about that program and what it meant for you?
Yeah. So I actually had a very unique experience with QuestBridge. So the way QuestBridge traditionally works is that you would apply to the program to be accepted as a QuestBridge finalist. And then after that, you would traditionally apply to the schools that have partnered with QuestBridge with the potential of being matched with one of them with a QuestBridge scholarship. So I applied and I was accepted as a QuestBridge finalist, but I actually didn't match with Columbia. Instead, I applied through the traditional early decision application, which is what most students use. So even though I am a QuestBridge finalist, I actually got into Columbia through the more traditional application process rather than through QuestBridge. But here at Columbia, I'm still part of the low-income community. It's called the FLY Network. And that has truly been such a rewarding part of my time here so far. From the moment I stepped onto Columbia's campus, FLY truly made Columbia feel like home. And I've met some of my best friends here through FLY, and the community really just helps everyone feel welcome and empowered. And I think the same can be said about a lot of communities for low-income students at many colleges and universities.
So did you get in through ED through Common App, or was it QuestBridge regular decision?
I used the QuestBridge application to apply ED. So I applied ED and submitted my QuestBridge application through the ED process. So I know that's a little bit confusing and very untraditional. but it was something that Columbia specifically reached out to me about during that time. So it was very untraditional, but definitely was very rewarding. I'm still a part of the low-income community here, and I'm still a part of the QuestBridge community here.
Got it.
So yeah, even though that was a little non-traditional, it's still a very similar experience.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, still well-deserved, regardless of how you got in there. Okay, so what advice would you give to a high school student who's unsure of a four-year college, if that is the right path for them?
Yeah. So I think that college really opens up so many doors, so many amazing opportunities. Not only does it allow you to obtain a degree so you can pursue a career that you're passionate about, but it also allows you to gain new perspectives on the world as you learn from the unique stories of all the people you meet, from your professors to your peers. And I think that it really allows you to continue your education, not just in the classroom, but beyond as well. And so I think my biggest advice would really be to believe in your abilities, and through hard work and determination, really anything is possible, whether that is a four-year university or college, or whether that's not the path for you. I think it definitely is an amazing path for a lot of people, but I think it really does depend on your situation.
Interesting. Great insight. Is there anything you wish you had done differently during high school?
I think for me, I really didn't know a lot about the college application process. As kind of a low-income student, I really was not aware of a lot of the complexities of the college application process. But I think one of the biggest things that I've learned is that there are so many financial aid opportunities available. And I think that financial burdens can really be a concern for a lot of people.
Definitely.
And so I think that there are so many things, from institutional aid to outside scholarships, that I was not aware of when I first began my college journey. And I really didn't think that attending a four-year university like Columbia would be possible for me financially.
Mm-hmm.
And so these things, though, have allowed me to be able to afford that education. And so I think that my best advice for students who are considering college, but who are concerned about financial burdens, would be to really explore the financial aid opportunities that are available to you if you think that college is the best option for you. And I think that if I had known that, that would have really changed my perspective on the entire application process.
Definitely, definitely. And I can say personally that, yes, absolutely. Programs like QuestBridge, as also someone who went through the program, great opportunities there. Such a great opportunity for people who don't traditionally have access to those kinds of resources, for QuestBridge to give out those resources. So yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Sarah. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Aaron.
Next up, we have Ryan Yeagers, a junior at Auburn University. Ryan's a graduate from Riverview High School here in Sarasota. Thanks for being here today, Ryan.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So tell me a little bit about yourself. What were you involved in high school? Where did you apply to college? And how did all of that lead you to going to Auburn?
So the IB program was a very big part of my experience and college process.
For our listeners who are unfamiliar with the IB program, International Baccalaureate is basically an advanced program where you take college level classes in high school. So a lot of the times you can go into college with a semester or even two semesters of credits completed.
One of the big programs that I was talking about that you do in IB is your career project. So that gave me obviously a really good resume builder for the college application process, because I was able to use a lot of my experiences doing the career program and going through that tough curriculum, like those extra things like the volunteering and the tournament, the golf tournament that I ran for the career project that you do it in the program.
Yeah.
So from there, I then applied to a variety of different in-state schools as well as a few out-of-state schools. Yeah, so obviously I applied to the big in-state schools, big out-of-state schools, a couple of mostly SEC schools. I knew I wanted some sort of like football environment.
Yeah.
I always grew up a Florida Gator fan, so yeah. I knew that I loved the game day experience at a bigger college. I also knew that in high school that I wanted to try doing the ROTC program, applied for a military-based college scholarship.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I was awarded a three-year scholarship.
Wow.
To pay for college. I signed that at the start of my sophomore year, which basically pays for the last 3 years of my college and allows me to then, after college, join the U.S. Army as a lieutenant.
Wow.
It was very impactful and actually like where I was going to go to college, because obviously out-of-state schools like Auburn are significantly more expensive.
Definitely.
Than in-state, especially when you're considering the in-state benefits like Bright Futures, mm-hmm. Florida Prepaid, and all that. So that definitely freed up some options for me in terms of like where I was able to go to college. Yeah, and I haven't really looked back since. Picked Auburn. Mm-hmm. And I love it here.
Awesome. Why did you decide that a four-year college was the right path for you?
Like I said earlier, the ROTC scholarship did really help.
Definitely.
Because I no longer had to have that, like bear that tuition expense. I know that that's definitely not the path for everybody, because obviously tuition is really expensive.
Right.
And I did have some friends who chose to do trade schools or just go to maybe a two-year college, like community college.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that there are a couple different pathways. In terms of for me, I just felt like college is a really good way for you to guarantee a better future in terms of just average salaries of like somebody who's been to college versus people who haven't been. And I'm not saying that you can't be successful if you don't go to college.
Right.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying statistically, I felt that going to college and taking on the risk of that tuition would allow me in the long term, and sacrificing these 4 years in school long term would benefit me, because I'd be able to go out and get more competitive positions and get jobs that are higher paying than generally you can get without a college degree.
Yeah, that makes sense 100%. What is something that surprised you about college once you actually got there?
Yeah, so funny enough, I felt like the IB program over-prepared me for college. Yeah, I mean, I'm doing ROTC on top of that, which is really the only thing that makes college hard, because you gotta get up early and you have all those obligations.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm taking like 15 credit hours. I usually take 15 credit hours roughly a semester, including about three of ROTC credits. And I generally haven't had a single problem with it. I've maintained, I think right now I'm at like a 3.7 GPA.
Nice.
On a 4-point scale. So not that it's easy, but I thought it would be harder than than it has been. I feel really overprepared, honestly.
That's fair. Well, that's a good problem to have, I guess, right?
It's a great problem to have.
All right, so last question. How has going to a 4-year college shaped who you are now, and what do you plan on doing next?
Yeah, so going to a 4-year college has definitely changed me in a couple of like really noticeable ways. I mean, first off, going out of state school, I didn't really know anyone up at Auburn, so I had to make a whole new set of friends,
mm-hmm.
which definitely put me out of my comfort zone in a lot of scenarios. But as well as the living on your own, being independent,
right.
Learning how to start to manage being an independent person. Obviously, you grow up and you have parents or grandparents or some sort of like support system in some way that is giving you a lot of structure and schedule. But in college, you know, there's nobody there to hold your hand. So you really do learn a big sense of independence. I've honestly changed quite a bit.
Definitely.
ROTC had to get used to that lifestyle of, you know, training at 5 a.m. every day. There are definitely some adjustments that have changed me as a person. In terms of where I want to be, maybe corporate sector for a little bit, do cool. Something in finance. I'm a business finance major.
Nice.
So starting my own business maybe, or being my own boss. So looking at maybe that being a potential route for me after the Army.
That's cool. That is awesome, dude. Do you have any advice for people applying to Auburn specifically?
Unfortunately, I tell you to do really well on your SAT or ACT.
I mean,
I don't know what else to tell you. It seems that they base a lot of that admissions decisions on those big tests, as well as other things. You know, being involved in your school, your clubs, getting right. Those service hours in, doing something on your resume that stands out. You know, I feel like one of the things that helped me the most was because I had to run that golf tournament for the career program.
Yeah,
you know, it definitely stood out on my application. So do something that's different, whether it's, you know, make some money for a charity or I've heard people doing like semesters at sea or something.
Interesting.
It really does make your resume stand out and allow those admissions counselors to, you know, think this is different than the, you know, 50,000 resumes they receive of everyone who's
right. Yeah.
You know, 4.0, good SAT, but they, you know, didn't really do anything else in high school.
Definitely. Gotcha. Great insight. Well, that's all I've got for you. Ryan, thanks again for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was good to answer some questions and glad to tell people about my experience. So.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, dude. I really appreciate it. You were great. Finally, for a college prep look at this topic, we have Diana Barris, a student success coach with the Education Foundation of Sarasota County. Diana, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
First, I want to get some insights into your journey. What led you to becoming a success coach?
I've been with the Education Foundation actually 4 years this week.
Awesome.
It's my anniversary. But I actually got into advising over 15 years ago. I applied to a small art college in Arizona as a financial aid advisor. And that's where I actually fell in love with working with students and families because I do have a passion for education. And from there, I've gone from being an academic advisor into management and working in colleges and online universities and so forth. And my journey led me with the Education Foundation. I've had opportunities to get out of advising. Just my passion for learning and helping others earn their education and have a plan for after high school just keeps on leading me down this path.
That's awesome. So tell us about how you help students prepare for college.
That's a very loaded question. the earlier I can meet with a student, the better because it is not a sprint. It is a marathon. In most cases, students really don't know what they want to do after high school, and that's absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. But just sitting down and having the conversations and building that relationship and connection on interests and passions right. and giving them that exposure to different professions and just see what's out there definitely helps. Now, as I start working with seniors, it is a bit of a sprint, just meeting deadlines, getting right. applications out there and so forth. But I tell them it does not end once you get that acceptance.
This
Another
is true.
Chapter begins, right? So it's making sure we have deposits ready. We have our housing figured out, making sure that we have transportation. Are we in state or out of state and things of that nature? Scholarships, you know, funding, how are we paying for, you know, this next step? But another important thing is making sure that my graduating seniors are prepared for that next chapter of life. Do they have the life skills to put themselves out there? Do they right. understand what being a freshman on a college campus will look like? So we do make sure we review that, making sure that they know they have to be an advocate for themselves. They may not know where to go, you know, the first time they catch a cold while they're away at school sure. and knowing like the layout of the land and so forth. So I just make sure that I meet every student where they're at and then provide them with the resources and the support step by step along the way.
What specific things do you do with students like SAT, ACT, stuff like that?
As part of the organization, we do offer wonderful workshops to help students prepare. One of them being our test prep. So we do offer workshops in SAT, ACT, and CLT prep. And we have a wonderful teacher who provides the students with strategies and tips on how to relieve that testing anxiety and really help them, you know, achieve the best score possible.
Awesome.
We also provide workshops in essay writing and resume writing. Resume writing, I definitely feel that a lot of students don't take advantage of. Ultimately, that is something that helps their application stand out in the end, not just with college applications, but scholarship opportunities, work opportunities. And it also helps them build that skill eventually when they do venture off to find a job or a career that they're able to format that and lay out their accomplishments.
So how has the college application process evolved in the past few years in your experience?
Oh, it's evolved quite a bit. In my day, it was pen and paper, and we had to apply to each individual school, you know, send regular mail, an official transcript, and type up, not necessarily computer, but yeah. typewriter, type up a essay. So now we utilize Common App, which is the universal college application where students can apply to up to 20 schools, which is wonderful. It's definitely convenient. There are some roadblocks. It's just students not necessarily paying attention to the details of additional questions or supplemental questions that certain Sure. schools will ask. So within Common App, you have to select your schools, and then within each school, you have to make sure that the application is complete in order to submit. So it definitely has become more convenient. A lot of schools are acknowledging and recognizing that we may have students that may not be able to afford application fees because they can get pretty, they can add up mm-hmm. for sure. So it has definitely gotten a lot more convenient than it was in my day when I was applying for school.
What do you recommend is the most efficient way to stand out to colleges?
I always talk to my students realistically in the sense that every grade matters, starting mm-hmm. from ninth grade up. Every semester matters. It's okay if we dip in grades and so forth, but unfortunately, GPA and test scores are kind of like the number one factor because right. schools, especially in Florida right now, are super competitive. Mm-hmm. But with that, I do tell students, you are more than a transcript. And this is where that resume comes in that can really make a student shine. And that's where that personal statement can really give your application more like holistic look. In regards to the resume, maybe I'm not, you know, over a 4.0 student. Maybe I'm like a 3.5 student or whatever sure. it is. But the fact that I'm showing them active in my community, mm-hmm. I take on leadership roles, really does speak to my character.
Definitely.
Right? So that is something that I encourage even the younger ones in ninth and 10th grade, that these are great times, right, where you can start building your resume. Because no one expects the high schoolers to have 10 years of work experience, right, obviously. Right. And including your hobbies and interests and skills or certifications, that's huge that you can apply with. Also, I would say letters of recommendation can definitely help an application because the people writing those writing those letters of recommendation are going to speak to your character as well. So it's great if so-and-so has a 4.0, but are they a good person? How do they communicate? You know, do they think about others? Believe it or not, schools are interested in adding those type of characteristics to their campuses, not just a high GPA. Mm-hmm. It's always good to have your resume up to date. And the personal statement. That's such a great opportunity for a student to showcase their personality. Definitely. Again, I'm more than a transcript, but maybe I help out at this food bank and I build these relationships, or maybe I created an app, whatever it is. And you can really tell it comes from the heart.
Interesting. Great insight. So we talked a little bit about how the application process has evolved in the last few years. How do you think it'll change further in the next 3 to 5 years?
That's interesting. I get a lot of questions now about AI. Mm. And is anyone really reading my application? Is anyone really reading, you know, all these things I put into it? And yes. And what I've been told, because I have an opportunity to speak with a lot of the directors of admissions of the schools in the state, they share that they still have human beings going over the applications. Now, they do utilize AI, right? To pull out things that maybe sound a little off.
Sure.
Right? So that's what I tell students, be careful with the technology that we do have available to us. Put the time into it because you can easily tell. I know I can tell when I read personal statements. This is not something that the student wrote, okay? But I still think in the next few years, we'll still have admissions offices reviewing the applications, hence why it takes so much time to get an answer back.
Oh, right. That's true.
Because the universities shared that they get close to like 90 to 100,000 applications every fall. You know, it takes a while to get through all those.
Do you think AI eventually will be able, will allow colleges to expedite? Because you're talking about how long it takes. It takes a few months for you to get your decision back. Do you think AI can help really reduce that to maybe a few weeks?
Depending on how two-year institutions or four-year institutions are going to be incentivized in the future, that might change. It's very interesting to see what the next couple of years will look like.
Interesting. I guess we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see. So Diana, if a student wanted to get in touch with you about applying to college, how should they go about doing that?
Great. Well, students are welcome to visit our webpage, which is edfoundationsrq.org, and they can look under the student services page, and I am listed under there as a student success coach, and they can make an appointment with me that way.
All right, Diana, thank you so much for joining me today. We really appreciate your time.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Listeners, thank you all for tuning in to this episode of the Future Ready Student Voices podcast. If any of you have any questions about life after high school, submit them on our website at edfoundationsrq.org. That's edfoundationsrq.org. We'll see you next time.